Over 4,500 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails refused their meals in solidarity with 60 detainees already on hunger strikes to protest their detention. Sudanese security forces fired tear gas to disperse anti-coup protesters in Khartoum on the first day of a civil disobedience campaign against last month's military takeover. And the British government rejects allegations of corruption after an investigation found donors to the ruling Conservative Party were offered seats in Parliament's upper chamber. I'm Marzia Hashemi, coming to you live from our international studios right here in Tehran. Well, thousands of Palestinians in Israeli jails are refusing to eat in a show of solidarity with six prisoners already on lengthy hunger strikes to protest their detention. More than 4,500 Palestinians have joined the one-day action. Palestinian officials say the six hunger-striking inmates are suffering from serious health conditions, especially two of them who've also been in a hospital. The pair has been on a hunger strike for 106 and 116 days, respectively. All six prisoners want an end to their indefinite imprisonment without charge or trial under Israel's so-called administrative detention policy. Last month, UN experts expressed grave concern about the lives of Palestinian hunger strikers. They called on Israel to completely end its unlawful practice of administrative detention. According to Palestinian rights group Adamir, some 4,600 Palestinians are now in Israeli jails. Mona Kandil in Ramallah says Israeli authorities will accept to end the administrative detention of Palestinian prisoners only after those on hunger strike come close to death.
Palestinian human rights organizations, the Palestinian official and non-official advocacy groups are demanding the international community to interfere because they know that Israeli prison authorities refuse to deal with this, with these demands, the demands of the Palestinian prisoners. They only accept to end the administrative detention when they feel that those hunger-striking prisoners are on verge of death. And this is exactly what's going on. It's not the first time Israeli prison authorities leave the prisoners till the end, let's say, and when they feel they are facing a serious deteriorating health condition, they are literally on verge of death, then the Israeli prison authorities decide to end their hunger strike. However, Palestinian prisoners are saying that it's okay for them to pay this high price in order to stop this illegal policy that the Israeli regime continues to use against the Palestinian people.
Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has expressed opposition to the U.S. reopening its consulate for Palestinians in Al-Quds. Bennett has said Washington can open its consulate elsewhere in the occupied West Bank. Now, earlier in our news review program, we discussed the issue with our guests. Let's take a listen.
Time now for the news review program. Now, the Israeli Prime Minister says that the regime would oppose the reopening of the U.S. consulate for Palestinians in Al-Quds.
There's so much more we agree upon with our American friends than we disagree upon, but indeed, our position is, and it was presented very clearly and openly to our American friends, that there's no room for another American consulate in Jerusalem.
Now, Naftali Bennett suggested that such a mission should be opened elsewhere in the occupied West Bank. The consulate was shut and merged with a U.S. embassy under former President Donald Trump in 2018. The Trump administration also recognized Al-Quds as Israel's capital and relocated the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to the illegally annexed city. Now, that has sparked outrage among Palestinians who deem Al-Quds as the capital of their future state. Now, Joining me will be a couple of guests. So we'll have Daniel Yegich, author and researcher from Beirut, and also Mazen Gomsia, scientist and author in Bethlehem. Let me ask Daniel, what's all this fuss about, Daniel? Why shouldn't the Palestinians have a consulate in Al-Quds?
Also of the whole colonial strategy of settler colonialism and erasure of Palestinians, because effectively, of course, having the U.S. embassy in annexed Al-Quds is just not only a way for the Israeli Zionist regime to claim some sort of authority over its constructive narrative, but also a way to further isolate Palestinians from the outside world. And of course, part and parcel of this colonial regime is to decrease or to cut off the communication of Palestinians from the outside world, including on a diplomatic level. So of course, the Zionist apartheid regime will try everything to prevent any diplomatic presence that is within Palestine.
Okay. Now, turning to Bethlehem, Mazen, how do you look at this story? What's happening there?
Well, President Biden, when he was elected, he came in with the platform to reverse Trump's destructive policies that go against international law. And he did say so in his election hearing, that he would reverse those policies. Now he is in office, it's been almost a year, more than a year, and he hasn't really reversed any of President Trump's policies abroad. In fact, he took upon himself to strengthen the same policies that are contrary to international law. For example, moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is contrary to international law, and Biden decided to do that, to keep the move going. Now, with regard to the consulate in East Jerusalem, it was established in the 19th century, was strengthened in 1928, has always been called the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem, Palestine. East Jerusalem, of course, is even under the minimalist conditions that the Palestinian Authority has accepted to have a state on 22% of Palestine. Every single country in the world recognizes that East Jerusalem would belong as part of the West Bank. So reopening the consulate, which was closed by Trump, is only a matter of just simple decision of complying with long tradition of U.S. Policies here, which is to pay lip service to the Palestinians and say that we want a two-state solution. Mm-hmm. And now they are, like Trump, they are insisting not to even obey this basic lip service of having a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza, and thus reopening the consulate.
Okay, Daniel, how would you see the future of Al-Quds? We know especially East Al-Quds, and you know the importance it has with the Palestinians. They want that to be their capital city. How do you see future for Al-Quds?
Of course, Al-Quds has been a geography where the Zionist settler movement has tried to remove everything that is Palestinian. It has been following this dual process of indigenous erasure, where the indigenous people are erased, not only their homes, but also their cultural heritage, while at the same time the settler community that is coming from other places is being inscribed into it. And the Zionist regime has for decades been trying to construct a narrative and to somehow find a relation to the city that isn't really actually there. It's between the actual indigenous presence of Palestinians and their to the city that, and therefore for centuries, and the attempts by the Zionists to construct their own narrative. Now, looking at it from that perspective, of course, Palestinians do not have to prove to anyone that this is their city, whereas the Zionist regime does have to. So from the narrative perspective, of course, Palestinians do have this advantage. But of course, there has been a very clear policy of ethnic cleansing that has been inscribed into the municipal policy of the Israeli administration within Jerusalem. It has been trying to decrease the number of Palestinians and increase the number of illegal settlers, which is what we see now in ethnic cleansing. So the demographic reality is changing, where Palestinians become more and more pushed out of their place, and Zionists are settling more. So effectively, there is still an ethnic cleansing, and the presence of Palestinians is being reduced by the Zionist regime, with full support, of course, of the United States, and at this point, even of their Arab allies, because there is hardly any reaction, even from Arab governments currently, into these violent policies, which continue. And regardless whether the United States would open their consulate in East Jerusalem or not, the fact is that effectively all of these policies that are in violation of international law are being backed by the United States, because there's no international mechanism that would prevent the Zionist regime from continuing these genocidal policies that are visible to Palestinians in East Jerusalem and Jerusalem on a daily basis.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Daniel Yegich, author and researcher in Beirut, and Mazen Gomsia, scientist and author in Bethlehem.
Now turning to Sudan, where security forces there have fired tear gas at an anti-coup rally by teachers in the capital, Khartoum, as tensions remain high over last month's military takeover. An umbrella association of unions says almost 90 teachers were detained in the rally outside of the education ministry. There was also another protest in East Khartoum, where security forces reportedly used tear gas to break it up. Now, the rallies came at the start of a two-day civil disobedience campaign and strikes against the military coup on October the 25th. Mass rallies are also planned for Tuesday to push for full civilian rule. The coup was the culmination of tensions between Sudan's civilian and military rulers since the overthrow of President Omar Bashir in 2019. So far, at least 14 people have been killed and 300 wounded in anti-coup protests. Earlier, we talked to political commentator Julius Mabalatu about the military takeover and political crisis in Sudan. He believes the military miscalculated the chain of events after taking power and failed to anticipate public discontent over its measures.
The military mindset, perhaps, has always been, we are the ones in control. But actually, unfortunately, what they don't know is that since 1956, I think since Sudan became independent, the yearning, the longing by Sudanese was democratic rule. So although military has been in power and they thought there would be continuity of the same, they are 100% wrong. We saw the last uprising, the last protests that duped revolution bear fruit. In the end, it kicked out Omar Bashir out of power. Now, I think this new setup, this new military, they were in partnership with civilian leadership. They purported to be like in support. But I think along the way, they thought we can just take over and carry on with the military rule. That was miscalculation, because where we are right now, you have the international community not in support of this coup. You have also Sudan being kicked out of Africa Union. So it's like even if they have power, they have got no friends. They have no support. Aid, support, financial support from international community being cut off, like Obeyansa just said there. It means that they have nowhere to run. They are like boxed, if I may say that.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government's facing new accusations of corruption. An investigation says major donors to his Conservative Party were offered seats in the upper house of Parliament. Now, the probe was carried out by a major British newspaper, the Sunday Times. It says all but one of the 16 Conservative treasurers had donated more than $4 million to the party over the last two decades. Then they were offered seats in the House of Lords. Well, Labour has reacted, saying the ruling party is corrupt, dodgy, and on the take. The government, however, has rejected the accusation. This week it was in hot water after Conservative lawmaker Owen Paterson was found guilty of breaking lobbying rules. Following that, Johnson's government was forced to drop plans to overhaul the system for combating parliamentary corruption. Back in May, Johnson himself was accused of secretly using political donations to refurbish his Downing Street apartment. Now, crossing the channel to France, where shock and anger is taking place as police will not face any repercussions despite killing an elderly Algerian woman by shooting her in the face with the tear gas grenade. Now, the victim was murdered at home during a yellow vest demonstration when she reportedly said that she was targeted by riot cops. Rami Mazahari brings us the story out of Paris.
There will be no trial, charges, or even a disciplinary hearing for two police officers involved in killing an 80-year-old woman inside her home with a tear gas grenade. It's the latest example of French cops hurting citizens and not facing even minor consequences. At the start of the Yellow Vest movement in 2018, police were clashing with protesters in the Mediterranean city of Marseille. Algerian national Zineb Redouane was in her fourth-floor apartment trying to close her shutters when she was shot and killed. Redouane was on the phone with her daughter at the time of the incident, and she reportedly said, quote, "He targeted me. The police targeted me. I made eye contact with two policemen. One fired at me. Then they got in their car and left," end quote. She died the next day from her injuries.
Et aujourd'hui,
we have suffered repression, which no president has ever permitted in the history of this country. We are not at war. We are not enemies. But the government has waged war against us simply because we oppose their decisions. Just for that, many have paid dearly.
For months, the Interior Minister falsely claimed that the death had nothing to do with the grenade and that she died of cardiac arrest. Half of Redouane's face was collapsed in by the grenade, and she inhaled large amounts of tear gas.
On a subi une répression.
The government has not given one word of apology or one moment of compassion towards any victims of police brutality during the Yellow Vest era. Also, there has not been one word of condemnation for the police who have committed these acts. None of the police have been convicted, even though people have been blinded, crippled, and lost. Of course, our heart goes out to the grieving family, and the Yellow Vest will continue to remember Zineb Redouane and to demand justice.
Her family has sued the Interior Minister and other senior officials for concealing and interfering with evidence. A ballistics investigation by the NGO Disclose suggested that police fired directly at Redouane's window. Many wonder if there might have been some admission of wrongdoing if the victim wasn't Arab. That appears likely, but she also joins a Yellow Vest-related casualty list, which includes 5,000 people seriously hurt, 1,000 critically injured, scores maimed for life, and 11 other deaths. Rami Mazahari, Paris.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful rainy Sunday, November 7th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are read and presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is the Sunday program, is your program, so it's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, actually your program. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful and important to us because they enable our technicians and engineers to provide a better service, a high quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, Christian Ivanaj from Italy, and Don Glocka from the US. So, Arthur, Christian, and Don, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. Here we have an email from Habib Klisli from Turkey, who has sent us an email. Habib, we have an email from Ge Hoybens from the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing his names because I don't know Dutch. And here we have an email from Slovakia. This email is from Alexandra Bogdanova. And from Hungary, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Mata Holosi. And the last but not the least is an email from Robens Pedrosa from Brazil. Robens is one of our regular listeners. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, please keep us company until the end of the program. I will be back with these kind letters and emails from around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we have so many letters and emails from around the world. As I said, Habib Klisli from Turkey has sent us an email. Habib says, the only way to deal with the criminal USA is to deal with them with decisiveness. I'm so happy that the Iranian forces dealt with the American mercenaries in the Persian Gulf promptly and decisively. So please show them a lesson that they don't dare come back to the region again. Salam and warm greetings to you, Habib, from Turkey. Many thanks for sending us this email, and it's great that you care about the global developments, especially the developments happening in the West Asia region. As you said, actually, Iran have to deal with the issue with decisiveness, and as the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC's chief said, the United States has caused them to suffering defeat after defeat from Iran, but has yet to learn a lesson. As you may know, the Americans are used to constantly suffering defeats at the hands of the Iranian people, but of course, this has not yet become a lesson for them. The decline of the United States of America has just begun, and on the contrary, we have increasingly been boosting political vitality and revolutionary enthusiasm, and our establishment has been reaching higher levels of power day by day, thank God. Anyway, Habib Kulisli from Turkey, many thanks for sending us this email, and many thanks for showing your thoughtfulness and your care and concern about the global developments, especially those happening in the West Asia region. Write to us soon and tell us more about the world developments, of course, and of course about the IRB English radio programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Habib from Turkey. And as I said, from the Netherlands, we have an email from Ge Hoijbens from the Netherlands. As I said, I wish I'm pronouncing in his or her names. Anyway, Ge says, hello, IRB English radio staff. Many thanks for the nice EQSL verification that I received from you. I will keep listening to your radio and will send you my reception report. Greetings from the Netherlands. Salam and warm greetings to you, Gev from the Netherlands, and many thanks for sending us this email. And we are so happy that you enjoyed the EQSL card my colleague sent to you. That's great. So you keep listening to IRB English Radio, and that's great. My colleagues, of course, will soon send you an EQSL card. Write to us soon. And Gev from the Netherlands, why don't you tell us your views about our programs? Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Thank you for sending us this email. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Slovakia. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia has sent us an email. Alexandra says, greetings. I have sent you my reception report for the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The broadcast was good and understandable. It was also audible. The signal strength was stable and most of the time unchanging. During the whole time I was listening, the audio was followed by one monotonous tone, most likely from another station. If you found this report useful, I would very much appreciate an EQSL card sent to my address. With best wishes, stay safe. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia. And I sent my deepest appreciations to you for sending us this email. It was great. You know, you just described the quality of our programs in detail. As you said, the broadcast was good and understandable, and it was audible. The signal strength was stable, as you said. But you said there was a trouble, and the audio was followed by one monotonous tone, most likely from another station. Of course, we will refer to our technicians and engineers about this problem, but in general, it was great. Reflecting your views about the quality of our programs, I mean, Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Many thanks for sending us this email. Let this mutual relationship continue. Keep on listening to IRIB English Radio and write to us soon and tell us your views about the programs of IRIB English Radio. Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia. Thank you. From Hungary, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Mata Holosi. Mata Holosi from Hungary says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I'm writing to you in order to share my reception report from the city of Debrecen, Hungary. After several failed attempts to tune in to your station because of bad weather, I was finally able to hear your radio station. If I might have a chance for a recommendation, please raise the volume, because unfortunately I hear other noises as well. If you think that my report was helpful and correct, I would very much like a QSL card sent to my address." Salam and warm greetings to you, Mata Holosi from Hungary. Thank you very much for sending us this email and, of course, sharing your views about the quality of our programs. After several failed attempts, you finally tuned into IRIB English Radio, and that was great. My colleagues will soon, refer to this problem, as you said, raising the volume. They will fix the problem and raise the volume so that other voices and other noises could not be heard. Thank you for telling us your view about this problem. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, because sending paper QSL cards is not possible because we are in the time of pandemic and we have to obey the rules and regulations of the national, mail system. Anyway, Mata Holosi from Hungary, thank you very much for sending us this email. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Brazil from Robens Pedroso. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, we have received an email from Robens Pedroso from Brazil, one of our regular listeners, of course. Robens says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmission. I'm 50 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a paper QSL card, verifying my reception report. Would you please send me a letter or a card which confirms that I have really heard your station? Thank you in advance." Salam and warm greetings to you, Robens Pedroso from Brazil, and thank you very much for sending this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. My colleagues can send you paper QSL cards or a palpable thing, actually a promotional item, because we are in the time of pandemic, but they will soon send you an EQSL card, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails or letters, and then we will soon send you an EQSL card. Robens Pedroso from Brazil, stay with us, please. Thank you. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I appreciate those of our great listeners who have sent us emails and letters from around the world, and of course reception reports, including Habib Klisli from Turkey, Ge Hojbens from the Netherlands, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia, Mata Holosi from Hungary, Robens Pedrosa from Brazil, and of course Artur Fernandez, Lorella from Spain, Kristen Ivanach from Italy, and Dan Glocka from the US. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa, via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767. Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd, faqad qala Allahul Hakim fi kitabihi al-mubin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Afa hasibtum annama khalaqnakum abathan wa annakum ilayna la turja'un? The topic which, as we had announced or has been announced to the community that we want to look at, is what does Allah expect from us? How do we live a God-centric life? What does Allah want from you and I as believers? You know, the verse that I began with, which will form the basis of our talk tonight, comes to us from chapter number 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 115. In which Allah poses what we call a rhetorical question. He poses a question to us. He knows the answer. You and I know the answer. But sometimes we forget the answer, or we try and cover it up because of our own wants of the dunya. And Allah says, "Afahasibtum." Do you, humanity, think? Do you presume? Do you suppose? أَنَّمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا, that we created you, the human being, abath, for no purpose, for no goal, just to play around, just to watch or play video games, just to have entertainment, abath, to watch your Netflix series and binge on what you watch on the streaming services, and play sports, and be caught up in the rat race of life? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and that you would never come back to us, that you would never die, you would never leave this world, that you would never come back to the day of accountability in front of Allah? Obviously, the answer to this is the opposite of the verse. So if Allah says, don't you think that this would happen? The response is yes. This will happen. This is a reality of life. We were not created abathan. We were not created without a purpose. We have a purpose on life, my brothers and sisters. And we will go back to Allah, and we will be held accountable for our actions. And so when I say, and I want to move into this next phase, how do we lead that God-centric life? How do we lead a life where we work, we go to school, we make money, we live a life? How do we do so, but live a God-centric life? So I want to ask three questions and hopefully answer these three in the next 10 minutes or so. One is that, what is a God-centric life? Again, that's the topic for tonight. How do we lead a God-centric life? But what is a God-centric life? Number two, how do we live a God-centric life? How do we make Allah, God, our focal, our pivot, that everything we do in life revolves around Him? And number three is that, what would be the outcome if we had a truly God-centric life? What would we expect to gain? Because maybe you'll say, well, what difference does it make? I could be like my friends, co-workers, where they don't follow Islam, they don't follow Allah, they don't pray, they don't fast, they don't go for Hajj, they don't give khums, zakah, sadaqah, they don't go for ziyarah, they don't come to the majlis of Muharram. Why does that make me any different than them? Why can't I live the same life that they lead? So let me answer the first question of what is a God-centric life? What I would say is that living a God-centric life means that we have to have a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift meaning a change in the way that we look at ourselves and our relationship to Allah, to our Creator, within the context, obviously, of the religion of Islam. Having this paradigm shift literally means that we have to reanalyze where Allah is in our lives. If Allah is at the periphery of our lives, He's just at the boundary. And you know, whenever we have a problem, we go to Allah. Whenever we have a difficulty, we go to Allah, as unfortunately many brothers and sisters in our community do. They don't come to the Husayniyat, they don't come to the Masajid. Maybe in Muharram they come, maybe on the Layali al-Qadr, in the nights of Qadr and Ramadan they'll come. They'll spend maybe half an hour, an hour, but they don't come on Thursday night. They won't make it a point to come to the Salatul Jum'ah. They won't come on the birth anniversaries of the 14 infallibles. They worship Allah on the periphery. But then when the problem comes in their life, they're having marital disputes. The wife is not treating the husband well. The husband is not treating the wife well. Then they come to the sheikh. They come to the alim. They come to the scholar of the community. They come to the Husayniyah. They come to the masjid. They come back to Allah. Now I don't say don't come back to Allah, but Allah should be at the forefront, at the middle of our lives, not at the edges. Only when we have problems. As Allah says, there are some people who worship Allah al-harf, right, at the borders of the fringes of life. We don't want to be like that, where Allah is there at the end when there's problems, when nothing else can solve the problems, then I'll go to Allah. No, Allah should be at the focal point of our lives. Centered, our life should be centered around Allah. It should gravitate around Allah, around the Quran, around the religion, around the Prophet, around the Ahlul Bayt, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. This is what I say, when we have a God-centric life, it comes that paradigm shift, that Islam is no longer at the periphery of when I have a problem, but rather Islam is there at times of good and times of bad. When times are easy, when times are difficult. Times of happiness, times of sorrow. Allah is the focal point every time. Rather than saying that I'll worship Allah when I have free time, I'll worship Allah when I have vacation time, I'll worship Allah when difficulties come into my life. No, I begin to worship Allah all the time. I follow what Allah wants all the time. Not when I want something, not when I need something, but even if I don't want anything. And who can deny that we are always in need of Allah? Allah tells us in the Quran that antumul fuqara, you, O humanity, are fuqara. You are in utter need every moment of your life. And Allah is ghani. He's selfless. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need you and I to become God. He doesn't become bigger for us to, you know, for us, by us worshiping Him. Rather, He doesn't become a bigger God. So how do we lead that God-centric life? If I'm saying that we have to change our paradigm or have a paradigm shift, how do we get to that level? Well, there's no easy formula. There's no magic pill. I can give you the red pill or the blue pill and you take your pick. And if you choose the right one, then you get to the level of having Allah in the focal point of your life. I can't give that to you. But the Quran can give it to us. The Prophet of Islam can give it to us. The Ahlul Bayt, the true representatives of the Messenger of Allah, may God's peace and blessings be upon them, they can give that solution to us. Let me take you through three stages of how to begin to develop this God-centricity, this making Allah the focal point of our lives. Now just let me say before I go on to that I don't say that you forget everything else, that you forget your parents, you forget your spouse, you ignore your children, you don't go to work, you don't go to school. No, all of those are a part of this. But they are done after understanding the role of Allah. that he is the true, you know, he's the true Allah, he's the true sustainer. And all of these things, our parents, our family, our children, our job, our education, they are all required. They all have to be there.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
September 2nd, 2021. On the occasion of the National Government Week, President Raisi and the cabinet members met with Imam Khamenei in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya during the first days after the formation of the 30th administration.
As for the issue of economy, culture, cyberspace, diplomacy and the like, there are some points that cannot be explained in detail in this meeting. Later on, if there is an opportunity, God willing, and if I live long enough, I will raise certain points. In the present time, There are certain economic problems in the country. The high rate of inflation is one of the major problems. And other problems include budget deficiency, the livelihood, condition of people with low incomes. These are the important problems, as well as the devaluation of national currency. This is one of the issues which makes one really embarrassed. We could equally mention a reduction in the people's purchasing power and the problems in the trade and business environment. Despite the fact that we and officials of economic matters have placed so much emphasis on this matter, there are problems in the area of the business environment. We could also refer to the problems with the banking system. These are the economic problems of the country. There are other problems as well, for each of which we should have plans and work hard, because resolving these matters is important.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
A fundamental point is that our economists and our officials of economic matters in this administration should work in harmony in resolving these problems. An important example of the solidarity mentioned before could be applied here. In other words, they should come to agreement about these important economic matters and work in harmony. Mr. President mentioned the first vice president, Mr. Mukhbir, is in charge of coordination. This is a very important task. It is very important. There should be coordination in economic areas. I hope that this responsibility will be carried out perfectly, inshallah, God willing. If there is disagreement, I strongly advise you gentlemen not to discuss it among the people. This is because when a disagreement on economy is discussed in public, it will show its real impact in the business environment.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.